I would have you turn to a specific passage, but we're going to be all over tonight. So just roll with it, okay? So last week we had looked at, do you remember, emotional-based responses versus Bible-based responses? Which ones are easier? Emotional, right. You don't even have to try for those. You just let it roll. Just roll with it, right? Yeah, and that's what gets us into trouble, okay? Bible-based responses. And we said that if we follow our emotions, okay, what comes naturally, and it's different for different people, right? Everyone has a different emotional response to a situation as far as what it might look like. But if we follow those emotions, especially during difficult times, stressful, irritating, pressure times, anger, frustration, bitterness, irritation, we end up in bondage to emotional response patterns. And they begin to become the norm for us, okay? Now, Satan loves to have us there. That's right where he wants us. Because when we're there, our eyes are blinded to the truth of God's word. Now, let's kind of put that together with some other pieces that we've thrown out over the weeks. Going back when we were describing and learning about bitterness and how a person can become in bondage to bitterness, and then what happens? Well, they get so ingrained and in bondage to it, you can't even talk to them about it. I mean, for a brother to practice Galatians and go to them meekly with the word and help them with this issue, their response would be what? Picking on me. They take on this victim mentality, and it's tough to break through that. Why? They're in bondage. What does being in bondage mean? Their eyes are blinded to the truth, which is just where Satan wants us to have. Let's look at a scripture for this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, I understand this verse is describing Satan's work with unbelievers, okay? He likes to blind their eyes from the gospel. What is Satan doing? Satan is blinding the eyes of people from God's word. It's a tactic that he uses. And listen to this next verse, by the way. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, that word unbelief, faith is the opposite of unbelief. The writer of Hebrews is talking to brethren, Christians. They could actually have a heart of unbelief. Not that they don't believe in God, don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. They just have a heart of unbelief, meaning no faith. Faith opens our eyes to truth. Let me explain. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It opens our eyes. Here's another way to read that verse. Faith is certainty about a reality that we cannot see. Faith, it's the certainty about a reality, the evidence of things not seen. So we live in a realm of certainty for the most part, okay? It can be proven with our senses. For example, if someone tells you there's a big rock in your front yard, okay? Now, maybe that's a bad example because some of you may have a big rock in your front yard as a decoration. Okay, let's make it personal. say someone told you that someone drove their car across your front yard. Okay, panic mode for me now, right? And left ruts. Ah, no, not good. Okay. We can confirm that, can't we? How can we confirm that reality? Well, by looking and seeing the rock. And we can see the size and the color, even go out and touch it, the texture of it. We can confirm that reality with our senses. But there is another reality in this world. It's an unseen reality. That's what Hebrews 11:1 is talking about, things not seen. The spiritual realm. We can't see it, can't smell it, can't touch it, can't hear it. We can't use any of our natural methods to prove reality when it comes to the spiritual realm. And that is why we struggle with our faith at that level. Faith is the certainty of believers that this realm exists. Now, let's consider something here. It's a realm that we can't prove with any of our senses, and we struggle with faith at that level. Now, how many of you would say you believe that there was a great flood talked about in Genesis? Okay, all right. Why do you believe that? Oh, all the Sunday school answers, because the Bible says, right. Right. Kimberly? The earth shows it. Okay. All right. There is proof that in reality that we can prove what the Bible is saying. But what if someone doesn't believe the Bible? Okay. And they're trying to use their natural senses to believe something that's at a spiritual level. They can't because it requires faith. A non-believer has difficulty believing the spiritual realm exists because they don't have faith. Faith is that certainty that that realm exists. Now, so let's get back to anger, okay? How is a stronger faith an alternative to anger? Let's link those two tonight. Number one, faith as an alternative to anger. So when we find ourselves facing the natural response of anger, God is wanting us at that point to trust Him and trust our lives to His care and His purposes. This is where faith comes in to counter the anger. But we need to remind ourselves of certain truths, okay? Since it's going to be faith in God. Here's the first truth. God is. God is. Here's the verse for it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that's kind of a concept that we maybe might just read over. We have to believe that he is. He just is, okay? That rock in our front yard, it's there. We can believe it is. But that doesn't make it true just because we believe it's in our front yard. Believing it's in our front yard doesn't mean it's there. Disbelieving that it's in our front yard doesn't mean it's not there. Okay? I'm looking at that coin on both sides. Believing that God is doesn't mean that God's real. disbelieving God is real doesn't mean he's not real. So that would be like a Christian and an atheist view when it comes to God. We can disbelieve that the rock is there, but that doesn't make it true just because we don't believe it. The reality of God and the spiritual realm is not established as reality because I say I believe it. It's not disestablished because someone else says they don't believe it. It is there because it is. God is because God is, not because I believe he is. Whether I believe it or not, God is. The spiritual realm, whether we believe in it or not, the truths that we're going to look at tonight, whether we believe them or not, or can wrap our head around them or not, doesn't mean that they're not true. They are there. Faith opens our eyes to see these things. Here's another truth. God is sovereign. There are a number of verses that talk about the sovereignty of God. Let's look at just one, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Referring to God. He has control over the armies in heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can say, whoa, 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 what do you think you're doing? God is completely sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign over every aspect of our lives. So how do we reconcile the bad, the irritating, the injustices in this world, the evil in this world? If God is absolutely in control, why is there evil? If God is sovereign, how could people choose to do something that is contrary to his will? I mean, think about it. If you were sovereign, would you allow anyone to make decisions that were against your plan? Now, most of us think, as parents, we were sovereign in the home. Right. Until that sweet little baby learned their first word. No. All sovereignty is gone, okay? I don't think we can know or understand God's mind enough to come up with definitive answers for those kinds of questions. I know people try to answer them, and sometimes their answers click with us. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But to an unsaved world, they don't make sense. And we're trying to logically understand or explain the mind of God when it comes to his sovereignty. But there are some truths that we should remind ourselves of when we start thinking, why is there evil? Why couldn't God have just stopped this person from doing what they did that caused me such grief? God could have, but why didn't he? So let's remind, there's four truths that I want to give you. I think it's the little dots in your notes there. Just to remind ourselves of. Number one, or that first dot, God can and does allow people to make personal choices. That's what we would call free will. If only parents could figure out how to eliminate that in our homes. Wouldn't that be wonderful, right? Second truth, God can and does place limitations on people. Meaning there's not unlimited free will. Number three, God can and does hold people accountable for their choices. So as I'm wrestling with, why did God allow this to happen? He's God. He could have stopped it. Well, here's why. God gives everyone a choice. He can and does limit their choices, but he also holds people accountable for their choices. Who does he hold accountable for his choices, for their choices? Everyone. Everyone will be held accountable for their choices. And here's the fourth thing. God can and does establish consequences and rewards for man's choices. Remind ourselves of those truths when we start wondering why. Now, let me give you four more truths. We'll start here with number three that is going to help us with anger, okay? Number three, God has eternal purposes for his people. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let's overlay the context of prophecy, which is around Jeremiah 29. The Israelites were going to go through 70 years of captivity, and that's what Jeremiah is prophesying. But also the words of the Lord here, and it's during this captivity that this verse gets plugged into it. They're in 70 years of bondage, captivity by an enemy. So in other words, life's not grand, as our lives are not grand sometimes. And that's where this verse comes in. God is reminding them, I have thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's saying right at this point of your bondage, your difficult situation, the thing that's making you angry, God is saying, I have a purpose for this. I have an eternal purpose for this. God has plans for every single one of us. And his plans are always what? Good. Always good. And they always extend farther than today or next week. Now, thinking back on your lives, okay, at past decisions, are there any decisions in your lives, past decisions, where you were going to decide one way, but you went another way, and you think, oh, man, I'm so glad I didn't do that. That would have been a nightmare, right? Guys, think of past girlfriends, okay? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You saved me. God's plans always extend beyond what we are able to see or comprehend. And when they're in the middle of it, we don't get it. We can't see how this could amount to anything good. What are we missing? Faith. Faith is what pulls us out of those anger responses, those bitterness responses. It's faith in these truths. Here's another truth. Number four, God is able to use the issue we are facing to accomplish his good purpose for us. Romans 8:28, maybe one of the most familiar verses next to John 3:16. "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Folks, this is more than just a bumper sticker verse, okay? It assures us that God is sovereign over even the evil parts of this world. God is sovereign. People do sin against God. People do sin against each other. But neither the sinner nor the situation ever gets out from under the sovereign hand of God. He's always on it. And he uses that situation for our good. In spite of the choices that others are making. He uses it for good. Now, we don't have to understand how he does it. Sometimes looking back, we can see, oh yeah, I see the good that came out of that. We don't have to understand how. We just need to what? Trust. There's faith again. Faith. It's a biblical response to anger. Another one. God's purposes include bringing a message out of our lives. So we're in this thing. We're angry, whatever it is. Something bad has happened, unfair, unjust. Someone has been unfair, unjust to us, and we're angry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now let's just consider what's being said there. An epistle, a letter, it's a message. Paul is saying it's been written in our hearts, but it's been known and read of all men. How can you read something that you can't see? What is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about God using our lives to be a message. The Thessalonian believers, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. So the Thessalonians, they're going through stuff, okay? Unfair, unjust, whatever it is. They received God's word. How did they respond? Let's look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything at all. Wow. Paul is saying, hey, we're over here, and the stuff you went through and how you responded in faith, that has made its way over here to where we are. We don't even need to preach. Your faith response is doing all the preaching for us. Affliction, injustice, irritations, God used it to be a message because of their faith response. You see, when people place their faith in God and then in faith respond with Bible-based responses, that's hard to do because naturally we want to do an emotional response. But when we respond in faith with a Bible-based response, God maybe doesn't take the problem away, but he turns their problem into life messages that testify of him. They, or we, in a sense, become a walking billboard. That's on a grand scale. How does that work in the home? We can be a walking billboard in the home to the one who's irritating or doing things that are injustice to us. Those things that are making us angry, we can be a walking billboard to our children or our grandchildren. Last one, number 6. God's purposes are higher than ours. Well, I guess if we're going to be honest, we probably all wish sometimes that God's purposes matched our purposes, right? His purposes are higher. Think about examples in the Bible, okay? And try to put yourself into the position of these people that you're all familiar with. How about Joseph? When he's going through it, did he know what God had in mind for him when he was sold into slavery? His brothers sold him into slavery. Do you remember that passage where he just lost it and he was cussing them out? No, he didn't. Okay? And then the difficulties that he experienced in Egypt, where the struggle with Potiphar's wife, unjustly being accused, put into prison. Remember how he emotionally responded to that, right? They had to call the guards in. No, they didn't. And then he interpreted the dream, and the guy got out and totally forgot about him. Unfair, unjust. How did he respond? In faith. When Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison, did they know about the coming earthquake and the conversion of the jailer that night? Which do you think would have happened if they had sat in their jail cell griping and complaining about the injustice, banging on those bars? The truth is that the far-reaching effects of those situations, Joseph's family being saved, being given sanctuary in Egypt where the nation of Israel began to swell under the care and protection of Pharaoh because of Joseph, the far-reaching effects of Paul and Silas and the guard being saved and his whole family being impacted, they came about as God's children placed their faith in God. Now, we could also wonder, I mean, we can look back and read that, okay? But we could also wonder how many good purposes of God have gone unfulfilled because of unbelief. These are definitely hard truths to live by. God says that to the natural man, the unsaved man, these truths are foolishness. Unsaved people won't get this. But to a person who has chosen to live by and respond with faith, these things are liberating. Imagine going through a difficult circumstance, okay? For example, these two guys here that right now are off of work because of this worldwide shutdown of their business. It's difficult. If it goes on for months, scary. I just scared Kimberly half to death. Didn't think about that, did you? Every one of the employees are like, oh no, this is so unfair. We need to find who those hackers are and go over there with some commando units and just wipe them out. If it was a particular country, get the military in there and kill them all. Because this is not right. This is not fair. But let's say both of these guys knew not only how it was going to end, but how it was going to be different, maybe even better. How would they be responding right now? Even keeled, right? Because they have faith that it's all going to be okay. Now see, that's what a faith response does. It is liberating. It liberates us from the bondage of anger and bitterness. Because we're placing our faith in God who is above all of that. We all face situations sometimes that disprove God is in control. Our natural reasoning would want to shout, "What God would allow this to happen?" There will be times when we don't see any divine purpose in the circumstances, in the evil, in the chaotic, in the injustice, in the mistreatment of others or maybe even ourselves. But then we have to step in with faith. Now, next week we're going to look at how these truths that we just looked at actually work and operate in those anger moments, okay? So for tonight, we're going to stop there and break up into some prayer groups.